The Athlete CEO Podcast. Let's go. And there she is.
I made it.
Awesome. Hey, Niall, how's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Look, firstly, I just want to say it's a huge, privilege to have you on. I'm a bit excited because you are my first female guest, which is awesome. And I just want to say, a massive thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to have a chat with me here today. So awesome.
No worries. Good to be here, man.
So let's get started. I guess just a quick 60-second bio, just for our viewers and listeners who may not know a bit about you. So I'll hand it over to you.
Cool, sweet. So obviously I'm Niall Williams. I'm from a family of six, four kids, two older brothers, John Arthur and Sonny Bull. And I've also got a twin sister, Denise. My parents are Lee and John. My mum's Kiwi and my dad's Samoan. And I grew up in Mount Albert in Auckland, the 09 baby. And went to Oiraka Primary, Avondale Intermediate, and Avondale College.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Really appreciate it. So let's just start, I guess, only a few weeks ago. You were over here in Australia, down in the Gold Coast, playing in the Commonwealth Games. And firstly, congratulations on winning gold. How did you feel after getting that medal? Like, what was going through your mind?
It was a bit of an unreal experience, to be honest. It kind of didn't sink in until afterwards what we had done, but I guess at that very moment, it was just almost like relief. Like all the hard training we had done, we were getting slogged at training, had kind of paid off. And I think the best part about it was a couple months earlier, we actually had played in the Sydney Sevens against Aussie. And we pretty much got smoked up 31-0. And we just knew from that point on when we were coming back for the Commonwealth Games what we were in for, and we had to really step up our game. And it was a crazy feeling seeing all our families and friends in the stands. And I remember at one point during the final, we could actually hear a chant, Kiwis, Kiwis. And it's crazy, you're in Australia, playing Australia, but you're hearing your home calling out to you. So it's just an unreal feeling.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Look, do you mind if we just before that final, I guess after you won the semi to play for that gold, can you just walk us through sort of the preparation, but more so the mental preparation to make sure that you're focused for that game? Just share that with us. So, because I love hearing that side of things, just because I know we have a lot of aspiring athletes that tune in as well. So just to give a bit of an insight into leading up to that game.
Yeah, Sevens is a crazy sport, It's only 14 minutes long and you have to prepare every game like it's your final, because if you lose, you're pretty much out. So you can't really think about the final too much until you actually make it. You have to, your mind has to be only set on that certain game that you're playing. So when we played England in the semi, our game structure, all our mental, everything tactical was all about them. And then once we had beat them and moving on to Australia, that's when we had to switch into our mentality, into how does Aussie play, what's their strengths, weaknesses, and just really get that mindset going on. We're going to be playing Aussie in their hometown, on home soil. So, I guess for myself, I'm not too serious when it comes to mental preparation. I like to just chill out. I like to do a bit of recovery, so pull on the Normatex, whatever I can do to get these old legs going again for the next game. And But in saying that too, we have a lot of jokers in our team. So you've got girls dancing and singing, and then you have some girls who, you know, are writing in books. You have some who are just pretty much in the lunchroom every chance they get eating. And then, yeah, so we all got different ways we mentally prep for the game. But there's one thing that we always do before a game is we have a review preview. So we review the last game, and then we preview the next game. And that's kind of when our coaches sit down with us, and we have a bit of video footage up. And like I said before, we just go over, you know, where do they usually kick the ball off? Who's their strike players? How do we want to play in this game? How have they been playing in the tournament? And so you just kind of had to mentally tune in and start thinking about your core roles as a player. So I play down in the backs, but I would usually move into the forwards at the end of the game. So for myself, it was knowing all the set moves from in the backs, but I also had to know it from the forwards, and just going over that with my my first and my winger, and then also going over to the forwards and talking about all our set pieces and stuff too. So yeah, it's quite full on, but I don't know. For me personally, you know, that's what training's for. You go over all those little nitty gritty details, and so when you get to the final, it's almost just like you're just like establishing. Yeah, we know what we're doing, and yeah, just final details really.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It's good that you brought it up. That, you know, everyone has their own way of preparing, which I think, you know, you find a way that works for you. And that's something that I, you know, and during my career, you know, man, there were so many different ways that everyone prepared. But I think that more comes back to what they're used to. And if it works for you, stick with it. So with that final, with that gold medal game, was the last time you played the Aussies when you lost 31-0?
Yep, the previous game.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, man, how do you get up for that, knowing that the last time you met, you just got absolutely smashed? And then,
it's to be fair, the thing that takes the most beating is probably your pride in games like that. I would never say, you know, that they're better than us because of one game. I always believe in our team, and we all believe in each other. It's just that day, you know, it was theirs. They played better than us on the day. But I always knew coming back from that, we were going to get better and stronger. And it was quite good, you know. It probably gave us a kick up the ass leading into comp games. And we went back and we trained really hard. And we went over that footage plenty of times. And I guess the feeling that runs through your mind, and, yeah, that feeling afterwards of getting pumped like that in front of a big crowd, you don't want to feel that again. So you make sure when you're training and you're putting all the one percenters in to make sure that doesn't happen again. There definitely was never no belief that we couldn't beat them. It was just always the case of how are we going to beat them now that we have seen what they can actually do to us. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it's so true, eh? Like, man, it's on the day. It really is, eh? On the day. And you guys made it count.
Yeah. You know, sevens is a crazy sport. I think that's what I love about it is, I mean, I just watched the New Zealand boys just before in there quarter final against Fiji. You know, you score two tries in the first half and you feel comfortable, but you're not actually. People sometimes don't get it. Sevens, just the bounce of the ball can go a different way, and they pick it up and they score, you know, on full time to win the game. And, yeah, it's just I feel like when we played Aussie in Sydney, you know, every bounce of the ball went their way, every call went their way. You know, you start to think like that. But when we went to the Comm Games, you know, you try and play a game where you don't leave it up to fate. You take fate into your own hands and you make it happen for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree for sure. So where we'll go now is basically, you know, you just shared a bit about your current success, which has been awesome. But we're going to sort of start to take it back, I guess, to where it all began, this love of sport. So could you just walk us through, I guess, your story and how you got to where you are now?
So I guess growing up, our family was always sport mad. My mum played netball and my dad played league for Ponsonby or City Newton. And that's actually where my parents met. So there was always sport in our family. I remember always going down to my dad coached both my brothers in league at Marist Rugby League. And so we were there every Saturday and my mum would take us to netball and we did athletics as youngins too. And yeah, just from there, you go to school and you want to hang out with your mates and the best way outside of the classroom is probably through a team of some sort. So definitely carried that on. And I guess I actually didn't start playing touch until kind of maybe my second form six, so second to last year of college. And I found that that was kind of my forte. I loved the game. It was fast, quick. It had a rugby ball that I'd grown up with, and I also played mixed. And so I guess the excitement of being able to play against guys too, because we were always playing with my brothers in the backyard, was it really appealed to me. And so I just from there I remember I was playing for a family friend's team down at a local just module. And Pete Walters, who's if some people know, he's a legend in the touch world. He came over and he just said, "Oh, you want to play for my team, Galaxy?" And I was thinking, because we were
Oh, so
winning our tournaments, and he's like,
you played for Galaxy. Wow.
you gotta play for Galaxy, man. That's where it's at. Yeah, and it was quite funny because I thought we were winning. We won all our tournaments, but I didn't realize we were actually in the B grade. So they were winning the A grade. So he was asking me to play, and I was thinking, I want to play on your team, man. You're in the winning team. Anyway, I soon found out who Galaxy was, and if we fast forward a couple of years, I remember Pete saying to me, so I ended up, sorry, playing for the Touch Blacks. Pete always said that, you're going to play for the New Zealand Open Women's Touch team, and you're going to captain them. And I was lucky enough to play for them from 2005 to 2015. And a couple of years towards the end of that, Pete said to me, "Oh, I'm going to apply to take the Auckland Sevens woman's job, and you're going to be in the team, and we're going to train you hard, and you're going to go to the Olympics." And I just thought, this guy's, he's on something, he's crazy. And
But
but you know
you took him up on his offer,
yeah
obviously.
well I had nothing to lose. I was in a user payer sport. I had we're paying all these last 10 years to represent your country, and the thought of maybe either wearing a jersey, like I actually watched a couple of my mates who played in the Sevens team, Sheree Tani and Tyler Nathan Wong and Morgan Morrow. And I just thought, if they can do it, I can do it too. And because I love a challenge. And so, yeah, we set out to kind of do that. And on the way, a couple of little human beings were born that kind of interrupted the schedule, but I wouldn't change it. So, yeah, I had my two little daughters in 2012 and 2014. And then I had shoulder surgery. And I finally was able to play in 2000. I remember actually going to my first training at Auckland Sevens after a touch tournament, and my daughter would have been 4 months. And I went to training at 6:45 a.m. and the family's looking after my kids, so I can go training. And I remember that's where I first met Brad Anderson, and he's now our S&C for our team. And he was like, "All right." He looked me up and down, and he said, "Let's, suss you out." And I lied down on the bench press, and let's just say I had to get a spot to lift the 20 kg bar. Probably wasn't my most finest moment. And then on top of that, he goes, "All right, surely you're better in the leg department. Your legs are huge." Yeah, so I wasn't too much better at that either. So we had a lot of work to do. But credit to Brad. He's worked with me over the last three years, and I owe him a lot into getting me into shape. But yeah, so we worked hard, and I ended up playing in my first sevens tournament for Auckland Sevens when 6 months post baby.
Yeah.
And I went over to Hokkaido in Japan, and it was an amazing tournament, and we ended up winning it. But that was my very first sevens tournament, and I always remember because I ran onto the field, and literally after one tackle, I tried to look at the coach, and I was like, I'm done, get me off. And I remember him looking at me like, yeah, no, you're not coming off. It's only been like 1 minute.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. So I really, that day or that tournament, I learned what sevens fitness was all about.
See, because we've heard, like, if you train anything like the guys do, I've never seen it, but I've heard the stories and the myths of how hard sevens camp, sevens training is. Man, it makes our league preseason look like nothing. So, I always whinge at sometimes when I used to do preseason. But is the sevens training really that I guess mentally and physically tough? What do you think?
I definitely, just what you said, I totally agree. It's physically so demanding on the body. You have to, you know how you engage, there's that dark place that you go to, and you got to get out of it, the other side where you just think, fuck, I can't do this anymore. I need a sub, you know?
Yeah.
That, for me, is what sevens training is like all the time. You're just constantly in the dark place.
Yeah.
And I just, it's crazy, and the things you put your body through, but with training, you know, it's so hard and demanding on the body, but the best way to get through it is when you look beside you and you see your sister doing it too, and you see them dying and you see them struggling but pushing through, and it just makes you want to do it even more. It's such a mental battle. I reckon sevens is, because the difference between winning and losing could be making one tackle, but you know, making that one tackle is, do you have the mental ability to get up and chase and make that tackle, or are you just gonna, you know, sit, lay down on the ground where it's easy and, you know, miss that opportunity? And I believe sevens training, you've got to train harder than you play, because it just doesn't work if you don't train as hard.
No, definitely. So you were just talking about your first sevens game. So I guess, what made you keep going?
Came back dead and with two black eyes. Gosh, what did me go? No, I guess it's the camaraderie you get from sevens. I never felt anything like how I did on the field, seeing people beside me smash their bodies, you know, put their bodies on the line for you. I tell people, until you play contact sport, you don't understand what that feeling is like. And I never did until I played sevens. Like you watch contact sport and you're like, oh yeah, they're making a tackle, but you don't actually realize what it means to each other to put your bodies on the line like that for each other. And it's a unique feeling, and I loved it. And I'm quite physical when I play touch anyway, so it was probably only natural that I try to let out some of that. That emotion in a sport where I was actually allowed to. I love contact. This is my favorite part of the game, is defense.
and you know, you go pretty well with ball in hand as well. So, and highlight, like, one thing I didn't mention at the start that people may not obviously be aware of is that you're an Olympian. So can you just share with us that story about actually going to the Olympics?
Yeah, that was a crazy story too. So, fast forward. After Hokkaido, I came back, and later that year, I ended up having another shoulder surgery, which put me out for another season. And then I rehabbed my way back, and I made my debut in 2015 to the 2016 season.
Yeah.
And so I had actually, there were six tournaments that year, and then the Olympics. And so I went to all those tournaments, and then was lucky enough to make the team to head to the Olympics, which was crazy. Yeah. And Yeah, it's definitely an unreal experience, and I'll forever be grateful being able to head away with the New Zealand Olympic team and experience the whole village. When you first get there, you know, you walk in through these gates, and there's just there was sky high buildings with big massive flags hanging out of it of countries, and you walk past in these massive gyms, and the food hall was crazy. It just had every single type of country food that you could think of, and that was yeah, it was pretty cool because we would go and hang out there because we would be waiting for the superstars to come in and have lunch.
Did you
And
meet any?
yeah, so I was lucky enough to see, who did we see? We got a photo of Serena Williams. She came in here with her sister one time and was having lunch. Who else did we meet? We met Tony Parker from
San
Spurs,
Antonio
I think.
Spurs.
Yeah. Got a photo of him. He's taller than us, but he's short, like compared to all the other basketballers. Novak Djokovic, got a photo of him. Apparently my brother got a photo with, he went and met Usain Bolt, but I didn't get the memo or the text message for Usain Bolt. Because I just seen the photo on his page, but I was there. But yeah, no, he must have got my number.
Good one,
But yeah,
Sonny.
he got to meet him. And oh, and we've seen Michael Phelps as well. So yeah, it's just crazy. You're walking around and there's just all these big stars, you know, you're rubbing shoulders with them and you're just thinking, what the hell am I doing here? This girl from Mount Elbow's walking in the same food court as Serena Williams. Oh man, it's crazy. But no, I've definitely enjoyed the whole experience, and just yeah, we and when we turned up to the fields, and they you know, they it was a purpose-built Sevens Field, so, and they had erected all the stands and everything. It was just in the middle of nowhere, and it was crazy. And then there's just all these lights and stands, and the field is like was perfect, and you know, and the it was sold out crowds every game, and just the feeling of running out representing your country, you know, for the first time, because it was the first time ever it was in the Olympics. You know, you're part of history now. And then obviously to come away with the silver medal is, yeah, a little story on that is, after we won the silver medal, obviously we were gutted as, and you know, you always set out to win the gold, and there was high expectation of us to win the gold medal as well, and you know, a lot of pressure, and we didn't end up doing that, but we got back to the village, and this guy, and he, I can't remember what country he was from, and he came walking up to me, and I was like, had my sad face on, you know, like pity party, and he said, oh, why, oh, I don't want to do an accent, but he was like, why are you crying? He would say, why are you crying, why do you look sad? And I said, oh, because we won a silver medal, I wanted gold. And he said, this is my fourth Olympics and I've won no medals. And you know, that one sentence, I just thought, fuck, that, you know, I've been to one Olympics and I already won a medal. And it just put it in perspective of what we had actually achieved. And I apologized. I said, sorry, you know, this must look pretty rude of me crying over a silver medal, and you've been doing this, you know, for 16 years and you've won no medals. And it just, yeah, really brought back what it's about. You know, we came here, we represented our country well, we made podium, and we inspired a lot of young girls to take up rugby. I think the numbers increased dramatically after, you know, the Olympics, and just women's sport in general getting more media attention and whatnot. And that was all from our team, you know, at the Olympics. And yeah, so yeah. Definitely, more. I appreciate it a lot more and grateful for having my silver medal. But yeah, recently, I think one's kind of overtaken it a little bit, the gold.
Man, that's awesome. What an awesome story. And to that guy, you're a legend.
I know. Yeah, it was pretty. I shared that story too with a lot of the girls. So it was, yeah.
No, that's cool,
You got
man.
lucky there.
Honestly, thank you so much for sharing that here. And I guess sometimes when you're in that, especially within the All Blacks, whether it's the men or women, it's just that expectation of winning. And, you know, yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, you just mentioned that you really wanted that gold because, let's face it, every team that wears the silver fern that plays rugby is expected to win. So, but that was such an awesome story and a message to put things in perspective, which was really cool. Look, thank you so much for sharing that. And what we'll do is we'll just start to lighten it up a bit, and then I'll ask you a few questions, and then we'll open it up to the viewers to ask you a few questions. So first one is, if you could be mentored by one person, who would it be and why?
If I could be mentored by, probably, I would say I love Serena Williams.
Yeah.
I think she's an amazing female athlete, and just I watched her documentary when I was actually on a plane going overseas, and just her mental ability to get through the pressure of having to perform day in, day out. There's lots of things I love about her. Her mental ability is crazy. Like, I remember was one of the Grand Slams or whatever she was playing at, and she was sick as a dog leading right up to it, you know, and she still went on and played, and no one knows she's sick, and she's dying at home, but she's turning up and winning these matches. And I just love her mental ability. I love how she's older and she's still carving, you know, since she's young, and she just had this passion, and her and her sister just went for it. And she's very family orientated. She's always, you know, protective of her family, which I love about her too. And she's just the friggin' man.
No, awesome. Yeah. Do you have a favorite quote?
One that I like to use a lot is, let your dreams be bigger than your fear and your actions louder than your words.
Wow, awesome.
So, yeah, basically just don't let anything stop you from reaching your dreams. You may have fears of, you know, failing, but it's those times, you know, that make it worthwhile. We've failed lots of times, you know. Especially with our team, that season leading into the Olympics, we didn't win one tournament. We actually lost every tournament we played in. And then we came second at the Olympics, but we regrouped in, you know, the following season, which was just last season. We won every tournament except one, I think, and we won the overall. You know, got three players in the dream team. We got World Sevens Player of the Year. It's just, crazy. So, and then the other one is obviously I'm a big doer, not a sayer. So I'd rather lead in the field with my actions. It's nothing worse than someone talking a big talk, but, you know, can't walk the walk. So definitely lead with your actions. So let your actions be louder than your words, definitely,
Yeah, for sure. Love that. I'm a big believer of that too, you know. And finish this sentence. So to achieve success, you must?
You must. Gosh, that's a hard one. Say it again, sorry.
So to achieve success, you must?
You must be willing to do what others won't.
Oh, I like that one. I like that. Awesome. And so, look, before we open it up, I just want to just quickly just touch on, like, obviously, your story. And thank you for sharing it. And I believe that those that are watching and those who may listen at a future time would definitely have got a lot out of it. So before we open it up, what's the next 12 months look like for Nia Williams?
So obviously we've just come back from Comm Games, and we went straight to the Japan World Series leg after that, and we won both of those. So currently we have two more stops on our World Series. So we actually leave on Friday and we're going to Canada. Then we come back for, I think, a week, and then we go to Paris. Yep. And so we want to win both of those tournaments. to have a shot at trying to retain the World Series title that we won last year. And then after Paris, we head to San Francisco for the Sevens World Cup. So that will be the last pinnacle event pretty much until the Olympics in 2020. So this year's a massive year for us. And we've already achieved our big one of the Comm Games, but we still want to win the World Series, and we still want to take home the World Cup title as well. So there's quite a big last couple of months for us. I think the World Cup is in July, and they've just announced a new World Series league in Colorado, which will be in October. So July, we have August off, and September's preseason, and then straight back into it, World Series again next year.
Wow. That's awesome, man. You guys get to travel the world and do what you love, and which is, you know, congratulations. That must be an awesome feeling of being able to do that. So,
I'm blessed to do it. You know, I get paid to travel the world and play a sport I love with, you know, people who I love too. So I don't think there could be anything more greater than that. So I'm just really lucky. And that's why I train day in, day out, because I know I'm living the dream and I don't want to lose it.
No, awesome. And thank you so much. So what we'll do now is we'll just open it up. So I don't know if you've been seeing the comments, Niall, but I've just swiped over now. So if you've got any questions, we'll open it up. Feel free, please, to ask Niall any questions. We'll take about three before we wrap it up. So we've got a lot of great comments here from people congratulating you. I'll just read a few from Clinton Torpy. The last effort with seconds to go was enormous. Was a proud moment for us Kiwis. Never give up, never die attitude was next level. Then when you slammed the ball down after the try saver, fist pumps. I was like, there she is. Congrats on your successes.
That's so funny. Everyone who knows me said the exact same thing. They were like, there she is. I think it was a bit of relief. The release, really.
All right. So, okay. So, Charlie Vance, having a sibling that is well known in rugby and league, was that hard to have on you, or did it just make you more determined to set your own path?
A bit of both. I probably felt the pressure more so when I first started, because in my first tournament, everyone expected me obviously to come out and play exactly like my brother, but I'm not my brother. And you know, it was only my first ever season. I'd only been playing sevens for one season before I actually started. I represented New Zealand, so it was quite hard. I was still finding my feet. As time's gone on, it's gotten easier because I'm actually getting better at the game. And yeah, like you said, I'm making a name for myself now. And it's probably not only recently in the last season or so where I finally have been getting called Niall Williams and not sorry, I just saw a question come up from my twin sister. So she's your favorite. Your favorite sibling. You are twinning, you are. I was saying crack up because it was hard at the start, but as I've finally been able to play the sport more, I feel like I've created my own name. And just recently, you know, I'm actually getting called Niall Williams instead of Sonny Bull's sister. It's, you know, I would never change it. He's helped me so much through my rugby career and just training wise and knowing how to be a professional athlete, I guess. He's done it for so many years, and he's passed on tips and things that help me, and because he's old too, like me, so he helps me with all the recovery stuff.
Yeah, no, that's true. But, it's, you know, you brought it up, and I'm just going to touch on it before we open it up to a couple more questions, was that you started late, and so your background was mainly touch. Then you had shoulder surgery, you had two beautiful children, and you still managed to not only make the Olympic side, and then you carried on and I guess I just want people to realize the actual what you've achieved in such a short space of time. which is unbelievable, you know. And that, I think that just comes back to your determination and hunger. And you always said throughout this interview that you love a challenge. So, you know, and that's huge. And it just so happens that you have a brother that plays footy as well. So, but, you know, I just want people to, you know, hopefully highlight that about you, and what you've achieved has been enormous. So you should be really proud of yourself. And I know your brother and your family are as well. So we've got a question here from Emmanuel. Can you sing?
No. Emmanuel. Capital letters as well. No. Our half of the family was blessed with the sporting genes, and the other half was blessed with the singing genes.
So I've got another question here, Niall, from Samantha Humphreys. How does it feel knowing you have inspired a new generation to play the game?
Oh, it's spine tingling, you know. It's crazy to go to countries and people will come out to watch, you know, just the women's. We have our own leagues, and knowing people are paying money and making an effort to travel to the grounds, bringing their daughters to watch us play is, you know, what it's all about. You know, we want to inspire the next generation to come through and be, you know, either Black Fern 15s players or 7s players, doesn't matter what it is, as long as they're out there on the field. It's a special, special feeling. And I know the girls, that's definitely a part of our vision that we have in our team, is to inspire that next generation and just, you know, show them that it is possible to be a professional sportswoman and get, you know, get paid, like I said, to travel the world and play rugby. It's another opportunity, and I definitely will be taking my daughters down to trials too when they get old enough.
Awesome. Great question, Samantha. An awesome answer. We'll take one more. I'm not going to ask that one from Mark Mucky. All right. So there doesn't look like to be any more questions. So before we wrap it up, Niall, I just want to say again, thank you so much for giving up your time. You know, I really do appreciate it. I've had a blast. And just thank you so much for your openness and sharing your story to where you are. And before we finish, is there any final thoughts or messages that you'd like to say before we finish up?
Oh, I just want to say, whoever's watching, our team appreciates everyone's support that we have. We always go out there to put on a good display of footy and represent our country the best we can. I just also want to do a big shout out to my partner, Tama, who holds it down for myself. He looks after the kids. He likes to call it Daddy Daycare. And he's the man, and I wouldn't be here without him and all my family, you know. My family are, well, here's one of them right now.
Hello.
Say hi.
Hey.
What's your name?
Hi.
Peyton.
Come down.
Oh, nice to meet you.
This is Rima Ray. This is what it's about for me. I treasure these moments at home, but I appreciate all my family and my friends who help out, especially their Auntie Julie and Uncle Ben too. Just thank you to everyone who supports us and also supports me personally. I love you guys, and I always appreciate it.
Wow, awesome. What a great shout out, you know, to the Tama and your beautiful family, to everyone that supports Niall. That was touching. So if you haven't asked a question and you want to at a later time, just direct message me and I'll forward it through to Niall. Again, what you may not know is that this will be turned into a podcast, and I'll be talking about that very shortly. But just want to say thank you again, Niall, wishing you and the rest of the team all the best this year. And I look forward to following you as well. So thanks a lot. And awesome. Cheers. Thanks, Niall.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, girls. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for lending me your ear. If you got value out of that, please follow, subscribe, and also share this episode, and head over to athleteempire.co.nz, subscribe to our newsletter, and start to be part of this awesome community of athletes who want to be able to not only give back, but start turning their passions outside of sport into a profession and start generating a profit. Now is the time to be your athlete CEO.